be ready to give up so quickly.
Today's daf, just like on Maimed Har Sinai, it's the last day of Masechet Beitz. Of course, over there also, we were there, we didn't want to include Miktsas Yomim, you know. So maybe we start from daf Beitz. It's not quite, but in any event, here we are on daf Mem, and it's our final day of Masechet Beitzah. And Sabbath Josh has been waiting for this moment a long time, and there he goes.
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
Misha Yuperotav Biiracher. Continuing now the question of whose trum do the products that a person has, the animals that he has, or things that come from Hefker, all of these things we've been discussing, whose trum do they have? We have here another interesting situation in which a person owns things, but they're in a totally different trum. The things that he owns are not in his trum. They're in a different city. And what happens then? So, Misha Yu Perotav Bir Acheret. See that he and his perot are not in the same town. So, if Orvu B'nei Otahair, people in that city, they went ahead and they made themselves an Eruv that would allow them to carry these things to him. Nonetheless, Lo Yaviula, for some reason, it says here, they're not allowed to bring those peros to him. Now, Lechora, the reason would be, because if they have his tchum, and he's not allowed to come to this city, so then we can't bring them to him, despite the fact that I can carry them, they are essentially outside of their own tchum. Because their tchum is defined by him, he doesn't have an Eruv, and therefore, surprisingly, despite the fact that we're bringing them back to the person that created their Makom Shvitah, but since he couldn't do it, so neither can his perot come to him. He couldn't come to them, they can't come to him. Ve'im irev hu. Now, if he himself also made an Eruv, so then perotav kamohu. Then that means that the interrelationship between these two cities is such that allows him to travel between them, so therefore his perot can travel between them. Mishes yimein etzlo orchim. Somebody that invited guests that are coming now outside of town, so they made an Eruv, and they're able to come from a city that's, let's say, 4 kilometers away. He's not allowed to go there. The things that he has in his rishos are not allowed to be taken out to that other city. Now, what often happens is when you have guests, you not only give them to eat in your home, but you give them a little care package for the way, and you take back something for when they're walking, and they can have, which often happens, guests come, you provide them food for their hotel room, for the afternoon, for the evening, when they go back, after all, they all arrived for your simcha. So the question is, can he, after the meal, can he give them things now to carry along with them? Lo yolichu biyadam manot, they cannot carry those things. It wouldn't be much good to give it to them. So they can't take things along with them back to the hotel, which is outside of the trum of the person who gave them those things. Elim kein zichalem notehen mirav yom tov. If the Bala Simcha over here, who knew that his guests were coming from out of town, gave someone else all of these little care packages and said, listen, I want you to be kind of these things for my guests so that it should now be considered to be in their rishus, and then it'll have their trum, then it's not a problem, since it belonged to them before it got it, and now gets the trum of their own trum. They had an Eruv that allowed them to come from out of town, so now they can take back these things that were given to them. Now, I mean, this seems on the surface to be very problematic, because all along we've been learning, let's say, the case of the Ro'eh. We've been learning that if somebody had an intent, even, to give something to someone else, then you don't need an actual kinyan. Here we're getting all hung up, which of course is what we've been talking about for the past couple of days, hung up about the nature of kinyanim, because we got hung up yesterday when it came to Hefker, because over there was only the kiss, it wasn't anybody's rishus. The question was who had the technical kinyan on it to define. And this is sort of a continuation of that issue, and the Mishnah suddenly introduces kinyanim into something which has been very informal until now. In the case of the Ro'eh, your intent was to give it to the Ro'eh, so therefore even if it didn't get into the Rishus of the Ro'eh, that's fine. Or somebody's going to borrow something from you, the question is whether your das is to give it to him. Okay, so over there we said, oh, he's hoping you'll find another sucker. But the point is definitely definitely there was no need up until now to discuss real kinyanim, unless we're talking about hefker. But something has an owner, then that owner could define where he wants it to be. On yonder, it should be okay. Tosfos asked this problem. Why is this any different than the case we had before of the shepherd and innumerable other cases that were similar to it? So Tosfos answers that the question over there also revolves around the das of the person that's going to be having it. If somebody's borrowing something, his dot is to take it. That is more important, says Tosfos, than over here where the person wants to give it to the Orchim. But the Orchim have no idea if they're going to be getting something or what it is and so on and so forth. So without their das as well, it doesn't take on their regals. In other words, what Tosfos is creating is an interesting kind of fuzzy balance. Right? Because if, even though their das is not on it, if I achieve a technical kinyan on it by giving it to someone else to be zok, I can't myself be kona something from myself for someone else. Because nothing has moved, nothing has changed. So I can't create a real kinyan. But if I do create a real kinyan by asking somebody else, they can do me a favor, these people are going to want this, be kona on their behalf, so that becomes a zok and holadam, it's like a mechud, maybe. So then it's sufficient, even though the person for whom it was brought, he himself didn't have das on it, but the kinyan that's achieved by the technical shmiach over here, by the zocher, is sufficient to give it the das of the regel, the tchum, of the person for whom it is. If that person would have expected to get this, and I know that I'm going to be giving it to him, then I don't need to achieve the kinyan, because then there is an actual das. So in other words, we have two different ways of achieving the same end. But what choice do we have? But see, I mean, that seems a little bit vague, because you're not defining it well by saying you do. In other words, is the function a function of dot? Is it a question of ownership? To what extent is it the dot of the person in whose rishus it currently is? That is to say, the owner of the animal is going to give it to the roeh, the owner is going to give it to the shoel. Or over here, the balabayit is going to be giving it over to his guests, which means, once again, that things are seldom what they seem. So says the Gemara, Itma, hamafkid peirot etzel chavero. Now the reason that we're bringing this up is because of the fact that we're going to look to our Mishnah to determine whether somebody who is currently in charge of something that belongs to you, it's considered to be nonetheless yours, or is it considered to be in his rishus, and he's like a shomranet and so on. You could see why we'd be bringing that up here. Because, again, since we're talking about technical kinyanim, and the question over here is, who is the baalim vis-a-vis this animal to define its tchum? So we can also imagine that it would have implications for responsibility, shmira, damages, and so on. So here's where we look now to get back to our Mishnah. Famous machloket. Somebody puts something of his own into somebody else's yard, and he does it now. It starts off, and the whole case over there was, as we'll see, where you have rishus. So Rav Amar, Kiragle Mishiv Kidolo, Vishmul Amar, Kiragle Hamafkid. So Rav says has the din, in terms of tchum, has the din of the person in whose rishus it was put to be the shomer. Whereas Shmuel says, no, it's karagle hamafkid, the owner is the one whose feet define the tchum. Ah, now we know that Rav and Shmuel basically say what sounds like the same thing when it comes to the issue of damages. So lema Rav and Shmuel does the litamayim. Shall we say, therefore, that this is a further extension of the famous machlokas Rav and Shmuel in Bava Kamma, in which the case over there is the Tanan. The Mishnah begins with the Yesod, that Imich Nis Bereshut. Now, when it says Bereshut, it's talking over there about a guy who has a shor. He wants to put it into someone's yard instead of leaving it in the Rishut Rabbi. Knocks on the door and says, I'd like to leave my shor. The guy says, come right in. And the question is, come right in, does that mean come right in and I'll accept responsibility? Or does it mean, I don't mind if you put it here, but you're going to have to make sure that that it doesn't cause damage and so on. And I'm not taking any responsibility. So there, it says the Baal HaKatzer is Chayav. The Tanakhama holds that it's considered to be the equivalent of Shmirah. And Rebbe Omer La'olam Eino Chayav, Rebbe says, no. A person cannot be responsible for something simply by saying, come right in. He would have to actually be Mekabel Alav. Ad Shekabel Alav Baal HaBayit Lishmor. It's only if he accepted the responsibility for the Shmirah. So now we have over there a machlokes in which Rav Huna reports that Rav Paskin like the Chachamim, and that just saying come in is sufficient to be mekabel rishut, and Shmuel amar halacha k'Rebbe. So now this machlokes Rav and Shmuel here about who is defined as the owner in respect to the tchum seems to follow exactly the issue that we have over there. And of course, we're going to have to get back to, and what does that mean in terms of our Mishnah, where these people in another city are keeping someone else's peirot? And why, if he has an Erev, do they get back to him? Aren't the people in whose rishus they are, aren't they shomrim? Very much like the case of the shore. But that's why all this is appearing here. Obviously, we're going to end up coming back to our Mishnah. But right now, it looks like this. So Lema, Rav Diamar Ki Rabbanan. So notice what's happening over here is that Rav is essentially saying here, like he did over there. Since Rav said the halacha is like the Rabban, meaning that when I put something down in your rishus, you are a shomer. So if that's the case, that's what Rav is saying in terms of tchum. Karagle mishif kidoetzlo. You ask somebody to keep your peirot, so he's the one who defines the tchum, just like he's the one who's chayef to take care of the animal in the case in Baba Kama. Whereas Shmuel is saying, just like he says over there, v'shmuel di'amar k'rabbi. Since Shmuel paskin, they're like Rabbi, that the fact that something is in somebody's yard and he gave permission, he said, please, just come in, does not mean that he's responsible for it. Here, too, it does not mean that that animal, or in this case, those kalim, or peirot, that those things become defined by his raglayim, so to speak, for their tchum. Looks very simple on the surface. So the same machlokas has two levels of implications, one in terms of damages and one in terms of tchum Shabbos and Yatim. Says the Gemara, no, I disagree. Because certainly, amalacha Rav, couldn't Rav turn around and say to you, now look, I don't hold that the halacha is like Rebbe when it comes to the question of damages. But nonetheless, in my opinion, Rebbe would say here exactly what I said. Because in this case, the tchum is defined by the person in whose rishus it is, despite the fact that over there, that person is not responsible for damages. Why? Because at kan, lo kama Rebbe atam, ela demistama lo kabel alav netiruta. What was Rebbe saying? All Rebbe was trying to say is that the fact that somebody allows you into his rishus in no way implies that he wants to take responsibility for what you put there. Aval hacha, hakabel alav netiruta. I don't understand what makes you think over here that the machlokas that we were talking about, mafkit perot etzel chavero, is a similar case where the guy said, come in. Mafkid means, that's what we're talking about, a case where he's a Mekabel Achrayut. If he's a Mekabel Achrayut, then even Rebbe agrees that he's the Shomer. All I'm saying is that that person is considered also to be the one who defines it for Tchum. That's all I'm saying. What does it have to do with Machlokas Rebbe about whether you're Mekabel Achrayut? As the case may be, it's according to Rebbe, you'll have to say, Beferush, I was Mekabel Achrayut, okay? I mean, is that what we're talking about over here? Where Shmuel could also say to you, V'Shmuel Amar, I don't understand why you're comparing it to over there. Even though I disagree with Rabbanan and I paskid like Rebbe that you need to accept the Achrayut B'Feirush, but certainly, even the Rabbanan would agree to me here that it has the din of the tchum of the person who put it down. Because Ad Kan Lo Kam Rabbanan Hatam, Ella de nekelele inish de nekum turei brishute de balachatzer. Why do the Rabbanan say, in that case, which I don't agree to, but why did the Rabbanan say that the balachatzer is chayim? Because the person who's putting down his shor in that rishus is obviously very happy that the balachatzer has agreed to take responsibility, because then that means if the shor turns around and eats up the balabayit's food, the guy who put the shor there can say, look, you said I should come in, which meant that you accept responsibility. I mean, what are you turning to me? What did you think? Shors don't have the appetite. Should have taken care of it. So there he's very happy. That way, if he does any damage to the owner's property, his shor, he won't be responsible. Avalhaka, what would be the point of saying that his perot should get the din of the raglayim of the person in whose rishus they were put? Minechle le'inish, the lekum pere brishute v'chavre? Would there be any reason for him to want his own perot not to have his tchum, but to have the other guy's tchum? Why would he put it in the other person's rishut for such purposes? Clearly, if it's his, why wouldn't he intend that it should be his for Shabbos too? Tonight. Now, here's why we brought all of this up. Now, in our Mishnah, it says, "V'im irev hu perotav kamo." If the owner who lived in a different city made an eruv which allowed him to go to the same city in which his perot were present, then the perot get his tchum. So what does that mean? That they have the din of the tchum of the person who put them into the rishus of the other person. Because over here, obviously, they're in his perot, are living in somebody else's house. And nonetheless, it says over here that if he, who lives in another city, if he creates an eruv, then they have his tchum. They have his tchum. They were in the other guy's house. They should have that other person's tchum. Which means, clearly, that they get the reshut of the person who is mafkid. And Rav said, it's keragle mishif kidulo. It should be in the hands of the reshut of the person who allowed them to be in his house. The iamit keragle mishif kido, it's low. If you're going to say like Rav, what is Rav going to do with the Mishnah? Ki irev hu mai havi. What good is it for there to be an eruv on his part if the perot have the din of the person who was the shomer? Amr Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, well, I mean, Amri Bei Rav, what they say in the Beit HaMidrash there in Rav, is that the case would have to be talking about, Gagon Sheyichedlo Keren Zavit. We have also in Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, an idea like this, where a person basically sets aside an area. He says to them, you can come in and put your stuff down right over there in that closet behind the door.
In a cubbyhole.
Yeah. So what he's doing over there, by giving you a cubbyhole, is basically he's being mashil you a place in his house which you have a right to use. Now that's a completely different thing. I mean, if you're miyakid Karen Zavis, so then obviously it's in your own rishus. You put it into your own rishus. The fact that this is his house is not important because he just lent you his house to store your things. You're certainly not going to come around under those circumstances and say that since the house belongs to someone else and I rented it from that person, that the payroll should get the din of the person that I rent from. That's essentially what you'd be trying to say. So, I mean, that's absurd. The Mishnah, therefore, according to Rav, is talking about that he's storing his payroll at someone else's house. But that means if the person said to store them in that room, then he's basically allowing that room to be yours. So there would be no question at all. If the Mishnah's talking about a Karen Zavit, so then of course it gets the din of the person who put the perot down. Toshma, Mishnah's Yimein Etzlo Orchim. How about the second part? Somebody has invited guests. So it says over here, Lo Yolichu Biyadam Manot. Now, how do you understand this? He has to get someone else to make a kinyan on the little care packages he wants to send back with them to their hotel room in the other city that they're walking to with an Erev. But what good is that? Let's say he would even do that. Okay? Erev Yontif, Erev his Simcha, He gives it to somebody else. Okay. But where are they meanwhile? Before the guest actually takes them out of his house. They're in his house. If they're in his house, then he continues to be a shomer on them, right? And he hasn't even given them to the guest yet. So kol shekein. I mean, in this case, he hasn't even given it to them into their rishus. Obviously, whatever care packages he has are still in his rishus. In the middle of Shabbos, the middle of Yontif, they can't change their tub.
He wasn't mocking them.
He was mocked to them, but what good is being mocked to them? Over here, I even own something. I was never mocked it to the guy at all. Nonetheless, if I put it in his house, right, it says over here that certainly at least we have one rishus, is one shita, Rav shita, is that it's kiragle, mishiv kido etzlo. A guy who owns something never even meant to give it to me. He's just putting it down in my house. Nonetheless, it gets my trum if it was there at the time that Shabbos was chal. So over here, it never left my house. You're just saying it belongs to somebody else. Thank you very much. So does the case where somebody else put it down in my house. Over here, it never even left my house. And nonetheless, the Mishnah is saying that if he had a technical kinyan on it, which obviously every owner has on his shore, he has a technical kinyan on it. Not only that, it's actually physically in his house. That nonetheless, if he puts it in my house, it gets my trum.
But when this fellow put his fruit in the other man's house,
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol
B'dvaro. And the Keren Zavit.
No Keren Zavit. What Keren Zavit? We're talking about over here.
Yeah, okay, so
what Keren Zavit? It's my house.
Okay,
I want you to enjoy a little care package.
So Erev Yontov, told B, look.
I don't tell you. I tell somebody else.
Yeah. Okay, look,
Bizoche
for my guests and these
and what?
And
what?
Okay.
And what? And also, I'm also going to lend my guests a closet in my house, and it's going to be their closet. No, I didn't say that.
No,
certainly not the mashmaut that I said. I simply was mezaket, right? I mean, you could say that, but boy, you're going to have to kvetch it in. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but certainly we can ask the kasha.
Had he said that, would have been okay?
Had he said that, for sure, it would be okay, sure. So, Elohim kein zichal mazai, v'yamar kiragle mishiv kido etzlo, ki zichal emadeichem mayach. What good is it going to do? Says the Gemara, ochinami, kivan she zichal emayadei akacher, it's kemoshi yichid, lo keren zavidami. What's the point? Why am I doing this? I'm doing it because I want it out of my rishus for tchumim. Isn't that right? So what are you going to tell me? That I go through this whole rigmarole to be mezaket to them, only to take it back into my house to be the shomer, in which case it gets my tchum anyway. What am I, crazy? I'm doing all of this for what? To achieve absolutely nothing? So obviously the whole point that I'm trying to make over here is that I'm going to give it to them in a way that is actually allows it to be their tchum. Or, you know what? You don't have to come on to that. Zicha shayne. The very fact that the purpose of my zichayon to someone else is that I want it to be his tchum, then that itself means that I'm not keeping it, that it should be my shvita. I'm getting it away from me. And that's part of the zechiah. Even if I don't view it as technically giving him a keren zavi, I don't need any technical explanation. Somebody who doesn't want something to be part of his tchum and is mezakeh that, along with the zechut to the chefetz, I'm being mezakeh the kinyan of my tchum. You keep it. It's yours. I don't want it. I don't look at it as being mine. Otherwise, why am I doing it? So I don't need to find a mechanism and say, and therefore we view it as if you were mezakeh. I don't need that.
It's
the purpose of the kinyan.
It doesn't require the das of both people or not?
No.
The mezakeh, just the one that's...
I mean, the shliach is the equivalent of his... the zocheh is acting in locum the guest.
The interest of the...
Yeah.
The best interest.
Correct. That's why it's called zechiah. Okay, so either we view it with the mechanism of Yechidah Keren Zavis, or we say the whole point of Zechiah is sufficient to be motzi something from his own shvita, which is a different approach, see.
But so you're saying that
it's a kiddush. The Gemara is saying that it is possible to get something out of your rishus through a technical kinyan, where you don't want it.
But this technical kinyan, the other side doesn't know anything about it.
Well, but the person who is the locum does.
Okay.
And he's the zohar.
He decided that before you open.
Mm-hmm. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, Tola Bisra b'Ibra d'Dash. And what happened over here is Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, he was coming basically as a guest to somebody's house from outside of the city. And what happens is that he had ordered some meat from the butcher in that city. And they brought the order, and they hung the order on the door, what we would call the door handle. In those days, it was the lock that you would stick in, but it was in the middle of the door. And they hung it there, basically, for when he would come in. So, Ata Lakami de Ravuna, he wanted to know now, he had an Erev to go back home for Yantav. He wanted to know whether he could take this meat with him. So Rav Huna told him, look, if you were the one who put it there, so then, okay, Zioshki will take it. But inu talu lecha, if, however, the delivery boy put it there for you, and you never hung it there yourself, then you can't take it. Okay, now, why is it true? We're going to see. V'iyu tala mishakil, our first problem is, and if he put it there, what right would he have to bring it out of the tomb? For Ravuna Talmid Rav Avi, wasn't Ravuna a student of Rav? Didn't Rav just say, V'yomar Rav, karagle mishi yifkido etzlo, that it gets the tchum of the person in whose rishus it had been placed? So when the moment that they hung it up on the door, let's say even that Ravuna had seen it. Ravuna puts it on the door. So then if you put it on the door, it's like the other guy's rishus. It's not his door. So then it gets the din of that person's tchum, according to Rav. How could Ravuna, was a student of Rav, paskin that Rav Chana bar Chaniloi had a right to walk off with this into somebody else's tchum, namely his own, when it was in the rishus of the door owner before Yantav? So that's our first problem over here. Says the Gemara, Shine Ibra the Dasha. Look, it's different when somebody hangs something on a door. Because when you hang it on the door, I mean, that's the whole point. If you're hanging it on a door, then it means I'm not putting it into the house. So if he himself had hung it on the door, it means basically that he's saying, let me just keep it here, not in your house, until I'm ready to leave. So that's the equivalent of Kamishi Yechebo Keren Zavid Dami. So that part is not a problem. Says Rav Hillel to Rav Ashi, but the other part isn't a problem. The other part's also a problem. Because inu tolu le lo shakil? I don't understand. You're saying, if the people in that town had put the meat there for Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, then he's not allowed to take it. Now, it seems to me that this is the classic case of the ro'eh, or the case of a guy who's selling meat and somebody wants to buy meat. Over here, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi knew perfectly well that he wants the meat. The people that are giving him the meat know perfectly well that they're going to be giving him the meat. We had all the cases before that in precisely such circumstances, what's the halacha? Do we have to pop a popper? What's the halacha? The halacha over there is that it becomes the rishus of the person, vis-a-vis tchumim, of the person who was meant for. Exactly, even though he only gets it in the middle of the day. So, isn't this the case like, Shmuel said, Shor shel patam, areil karagle kol adam. And there's no reason to think that Rav argued, even though it's true, it's a little strange we're asking on Rav from Shmuel. But there's no reason to believe that Rav argues about that case. I mean, it's so consistent with the cases that we had before, that if you've got somebody who fattens shvarim, and anybody who buys from him during Yom Tov is considered to be the retroactive owner at the time of the Knesset of Yom Tov. So, which means over here, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi basically is the equivalent of having had this before. And this is what Ravilla said to Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, I don't get it. You've explained, I mean, half of it you've explained. But how about the other half? Inu Tadulei, they hung it for him. Let's indeed say he didn't hang it for himself. But so what? Does it make sense? But Sanan, doesn't it say, didn't we just have before, that, I mean, Amar Rabba Barbachonim Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Deisa. We said before that the halacha is like Rabbi Deisa, that in a case where you have a ro'eh who's going to be getting it, and he's the only ro'eh in town, so then it has a din as if he got it from before, and it doesn't go according to the Bayan. So over here we know Rabbi Chana bar Chanina Lloyd was meant to get it before. He added a das to get it before. The delivery boy was going to deliver, knew it was going to him before the butcher shop. What's the problem? Why can't he take it even if somebody else hung it there? Ravashi says to Rav Kahana, I don't understand. Why is it supposed to make any sense? Basically, you're all asking the same question from different mikorot. So we had the mikor of Shor Shel Patan. We had the mikor of the Ro'eh, which was Rabbi Deisa. And then we had, of course, the actual Mishnah. I'inu talu leilo shakyo v'atznana be'imava ha'kelim k'raglea ba'alim. Now, this is a little bit weird. Because, I mean, from the Mishnah, this doesn't, I mean, k'raglea ba'alim, maybe that's what defines the ba'alim. Which is why the Rabbeinu Hanano basically has a different girsa in which we ask Gufa from the Mishnah of the Raya. That if it was something, or the Shoel, if it was something that you knew that you were going to be giving before, then it's his. That you can't argue about. Say Ragli Abala means anything different. So how do you explain the fact, I understand certainly, why it is that if he put it there himself, he could take it, because it's Yichud HaKar and Zavis. But I don't understand why if somebody else put it there, he can't take it. That makes no sense to me. Says the Gemara, you're right. We're going to have to change our whole pshat, Ella. That's why we put in an Ella over here, because we are completely reverting to something else. Ella shine Rav Chana bar Chaniloi de Gava Rabahu v'tare b'shmaitate. Problem over here is Rav Chana bar Chaniloi was a great Talmud Chacham, which means he was something of an ivory tower professor who really was not paying much attention to what was going on around him because he was always thinking about a sugya. Problem over here was that Rav Huna, remember, being a Talmud of Rav, has a completely different concern. His concern is not whether you can move the meat to your city. His concern is the meat kosher? Because remember, according to Rav, any meat which is nitalim in ayin is not kosher. Instantly. Becomes treif. So, if, what he was saying is, if you put that meat there on the door, so then even you probably remember that you put it there and recognize it, so you have a simon, to be a sign is what it really means, in that meat. Okay, then you could take it. I'm not discussing tumim, I'm discussing whether you're allowed to eat that meat. But if not, if somebody else put it there, who's been watching it? What, you say you came in 2 minutes later? That's too late. 2 minutes later was already awesome. You didn't know what that meat looked like. You have no way of identifying it. So, forget it.
So you can't have meat delivered to you?
You can't, well, I mean, unless the delivery boy is looking at it.
the delivery boy is an Arab.
And if it's not, doesn't have a semen, then you're not going to have it. But we don't pass them like Rav on this, so then don't worry about it too much. We pass it, Baza Shinatalim and Ayin, but not Rav's Chumra of Baza Shinatalim and Ayin. Anyway, so therefore it was saying like this. If you were the one, if you yourself put that meat there, so then undoubtedly, undoubtedly you have a way of recognizing that meat. And furthermore, I mean, I'm sure that you've been worried about it and keep looking in on it and so on. So there's no problem. So then zirshko, you could take it and you know, Esk is under hate. But i'inu tolu lecha, however, if somebody else put it there, and your das wasn't for it, and they're not being very careful, they were mitziach their das, and you don't have a simon to know, so whose das actually has been on it during this whole time? And therefore, you're not allowed to eat the meat. This is Rashi's approach to the sugya. He brings that there are those who learn that it has a din because he's bothered by the hesek hadas, and it's b'monefsha. If it's a din and you're taking care of it and looking in on it, then what do you need the simen? He said, well, how do we have both? Why do we say you have a simen? V'lo asakta daitamine. If you have a simen, then you don't need the lo asakta daitamine. He says, there are others who say that that part is there to, because of a mukta issue. So if you were Mesiyar Vaitcha Bimana, so then it would become mukta. Okay, he doesn't support that pshat himself. But this would mean that we're introducing a completely new issue. We thought, in our naivete, that this was part of the question of Trumin. He wasn't asking about Trumin. He was asking a completely different question about the kashrus of the meat. And now, for the final Mishnah, in the second Beitzah, we hear from our own beloved Saba Josh.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Ein mashkin v'shochatin et ha-midbariyot, aval mashkin v'shochatin et ha-bayatot. Now, as we'll see, the minhag was to give, they do this for humans too, a final request. Is there anything you'd like before we shoot you? So before we shech the animal, after all, if they want to have a good smoke or they want to have a little drink before shechita, but actually, as we'll see, there's an inyan to give a drink to the behema because it makes it easier to skin the behema. It's like making you pay for the bullet they shoot you with, And we'll see, there's another pirush in this also. But over here, so the Mishnah is saying, you're not allowed to be mashke, which seems to be saying in the mashke, you can't even give a drink. V'shochtin, nor you do shchita et hamidbariyot, animals that basically don't have anything to do with you. We'll see how we define that. But they're animals that live far away from the house, like those animals in Tzvat, everybody always bumping into those cows miles away. They just wander around, and it's only when it snows that they come back into town because they don't have anything to eat. They start looking through the garbage pails, and then Tzfat is completely traffic logged for weeks. But those kind of animals are called midbariyot. So there, you can't take care of them because they're basically muktzim. They're out of your das. But you can be mashka and shochet the bayatot, the lashna bayat, those that live at home. Elo ein bayatot. What are called bayatot? Alanot ba'ir. They may be all day outside of town, but they come home at night. Whereas midbariot are alanot ba'afar. The ones that live outside and will even sleep outdoors, and they don't come home, those are called midbariot. What is this mashkin v'shochet? I don't understand, says the Gemara. Let me name a mashkin b'shochet. You're certainly allowed to give a drink to an animal, one way or the other. Is that what you mean, giving a drink? No, milta agavurchik mashkin. We're not talking about giving a drink if the animal's thirsty. We're talking just as an eitzah tova. Lishke inesh behem tova hara lishchot mishum sirch lemashcha. That it's a good idea to give an animal a drink before shechting it, because this way, the sircha of the mashka is the or in Aramaic, so the sircha is that which holds tight, it's connective tissue, that holds the or onto the basar, but it's easier to remove the skin. And there is a shita, which is brought also by some of the Rishonim that the Miri brings, which is that sircha de mashka means literally sirachot, that pull. In other words, that if you give the animal is well hydrated, then what might otherwise look like a sircha to you on the lung will now be loosened because of the hydration and won't show up as a sircha. Therefore, it would do you an awful lot of good to save yourself like a few $100 and give the animal a drink, because that way you won't have to pass it because of tarfus, since there won't be a sircha on the lung. Okay. In any event, what defines the concept of midbari as opposed to a beiti? Midbariot kol shiyotzot bePesach, if they go out of the house in the springtime, v'ro'ot beAfar, and they sit out there all springtime, summertime, and they eat pasture to their heart's content. And only when it starts raining in Cheshvan, Nichnasot B'Reviyah Rishona, they come in for the first rains. Those are considered to be Midbariot. Ve'elohim Bayatot, Kosh Yotzot V'Rahot Chutz L'Tchum, U'Baot V'Ranot B'Toch HaTchum. Animals that will wander around, but they always feel they have to make their way close to home back at night. So this is the sheet of the Chalkoni. Rebbe Omer.
Species of animals or within cows?
Your cows, your own cows, your own sheep.
You have some that are libarios and some are batim?
Either you have some, or some, or some people have some, and other people have others.
Sort of look at this like the hair length, right? And usually groomed.
Sorry?
The hair length is often like out today.
The hair length?
Yeah, like you see. Like
you see midbariot and bayot. Yeah. In people.
With a Bedouin around, with a Bedouin around, any cow that doesn't sleep in a thing will not be there in the morning.
No, that's not true. And Svapi actually do come home at night.
That's the expression until the cows come.
All over the world. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch their march through the cemetery there. Ten Rabban. So that's the Tanakhama. Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says, no. Look, if you hold that the animal that comes back at night is a beti, despite the fact that he's free all day long, what's wrong with an animal who's free all summer long? I mean, what is the amount of time? Is that, why would that be the issue? I mean, the point is that this is an animal that is emotionally attached to the house, and therefore that would be a beti. A midbarit, eloi midbar. I'll tell you what a midbarit is. At all, animals that only are comfortable outdoors in the wide open areas, they never come into the areas where people live, and basically you allow them to wander over the hills and you take care of them that way, but they never come into town. They live out there in the sunshine and the rain, everything is fine. So then, obviously, your das is not on them. They may be anywhere. What do you say? You're gonna run around now for 40 miles and look for an animal. So that already, I understand that's considered to be mukta. But other than that, it's all considered to be muchan. Mi'ita, the Rebbe, mukta. Wait. Rebbe is talking about mukta here? And he's saying, I agree that they would be mukta if they never come into town? I thought, oh boy, mine Reb Shimon bar Rebbe, mi Rebbe. Didn't Reb Shimon, Rebbe's son, asked Rebbe, what would be the din of patzilet mara? Rebbe Shimon, shita is, of course, that most muktzahs he doesn't hold of, right? Okay, something that is mamish muktzah, either machbas chisar and kiss that you put into a safe. You don't want that thing to be handled. That's really very muktzah. Or you have things like the classic muktzah. You put it away up on the roof in order for it to become a raisin, and now it's not edible, so it's totally out of your mind. That he holds up. What would he hold about patzilei tmara? Patzilei tmara are basically dates that never become ripe on their own. And so what you do is you pick them, store them in these little chotalot to keep the heat of their slow combustion going, and that allows them to ripen. And you also, patzile is a lesson of splitting. So
you put them in, Rebbe?
Chotalot, they're like baskets. And they ripen in baskets. They'll never ripen on the tree.
So like putting them in a brown bag? Taking fruit in the same?
Whatever, it's made, a chotalot is made out of the leaves of the tree, so it's not quite the same as a brown bag. I wouldn't try it that way. But if you do the pitzia, that's what Tosus says, the Lashon HaPatzila, Tosus assumes Rashi's arguing on that, but many of the Mefarshim of Rashi is agreeing that he's not coming to explain the Lashon HaPatzila. So what would be the thing? Because over there, so there's two ways of looking at it. You could say that essentially it's the equivalent of a raisin. It's not yet edible, you're waiting for it to ripen. Rabbi Shimon agrees about raisins, so, and he agrees about dates. If somebody takes a date that is ripe, puts it up in order to dry, then Rabbi Shimon agrees that that's muksa, because in the intermediary stage, nobody's right mind's going to eat it until it dries out. So is Patzilei Tamara the same, or do we say that the fact that the Patzilei Tamara have never arrived yet at a ripened stage, therefore what the person is doing is he's encouraging their ripening, he's not putting them away out of his mind, on the contrary, he's trying to hurry the process that will allow him to eat it. So it's not the same thing as having had something and throwing it out, so to speak, by setting it aside in the safe or on the roof. So Mao, what would be the din? To which Rebbe replied, Omar Leh, Ein Muksel Rebbe Shimon, Ela Gro Gro Vitzimukim Bilvad. No, it is not similar to the case of drying figs, dates, or grapes, because over there it was once ripe, and you're putting it out of your mind by doing this. I shouldn't get over here. You're simply encouraging the process that would allow you to have it. But in any event, it seems rather clear from there. If Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon, his son, are discussing what the din would be, I'll leave it to Rebbe Shimon. So, in other words, Rebbe doesn't hold the muktzah. So why would Rebbe say over here that these animals that are out of town, bein bimot hachama, bein bimot hageshamim, there I agree it's muktzah. Why would there he agree it's muktzah? And the exciting answers to that question are something that we will wait for our conclusion, which because of various plans and people's travel and so on and so forth, will be held at the exciting Mitzvah Shabbos Siyum.
Oh, we've already decided.
Yeah, we've already decided. Don't tell me you're not coming.
I have
Well, now you've heard about it.
Maybe Rebbe Bornei also be back.
Ah, excellent. That would be wonderful. So then we'll have, I hope, here, I'll talk to McCollum today, and then we'll have time to plan that out tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.
6:30.
And we'll plan out the specific details. Let me ask them when it's available.
So does the Rebbe of Rishona prepare us for Tainus? Is that the normal set?
Actually, later.
No, doesn't
go for time. Don't you wish? It'd be nice to have a little let up on these hard signals, right? Right. Can we wait, or you're going to be leaving? Mem. Misha yuperotav v'irachered v'irvu b'nei otah yir lavi etzlo miperotav tubeh lo yavir lo v'imirev hu perotav kamohu misha zimen etzlo orchim lo yolichu b'yadam manot ela im kein zichala en manot tehem erav yom tov idma hamavki perot etzlo chavir orav omer karagle misha yivkido etzlo v'shmul omer karagle hamavki leima rav v'shmul v'azle tamayu Tetzlan and Baba Kame, Nich Nis Breshut Pala Chatzir Chayav, Rebbe Omer Leolam Eno Chayav Et Shikabel Alav Bala Bayit Lishmo. And about that Mishnah, Rav Huna reported that Rav Paskin Aloki Diva Chachomi, and Shmuel Paskin Aloki Garebi. So Lein Barav Yomek Rabadan, Bishmuel de Omek Rebbe, Omek Lepa Rav, has nothing to do with it. Ana de Omer Afi Lil Rebbe. Atka no kama Rebbe Ata Melo de Bistom Aloki Bela Lav Tiruta. But, I mean, here it could be talked about with the Kibbalah of the Tiruta Beferush, Vishmuel Amar, and I, Anadam Rafil Rabbanan, Atkan Lokam Rabbanan Hatam, because obviously the guy who puts it there is very happy, Nechele Nishtekim Turim Birushut Erebalachatzer. That way, Maskele, it's not my problem, but over here, why in the world would he want his parents to have the other guy's tomb? Minechele Nishtekim Turim Birushut Erebalachatzer. It's not. The im irev who perotav kamo? How does Rav understand that? Yamit karagle mishiv kido etzlo. So ki irev umbay havi. Amre v'no amre be Rav kagon shiched lo keren zavid. Toshma. Mishiz imen etzlo orchim lo yolichu biyad amanot. Ela imken zichalehem minotehem mirev yom tov. The amre as Rav does the karagle mishiv kido etzlo. What good is it to be mezakel amay de acher? My havi. Thank you, Mizrahi. Hokinami kimon jizichala ma'idei acher kavod sheyichet lo keren zavit ami viboy teima zicha shiny. Reb Chana bar Chaniloi tala bisra biibra ledash. Ata lakami ravuna amalei I at talita zirshkil, but I inu tala lecha lo tishko. Wait. You tala. Why would he be allowed to be shuckled out of the tomb? For ravuna tala me the rav avi. Vamarav kragla mishiv kido etzlo, so whoever owns the door should be the one who defines the tchum. Now, in Ibra the Dash, it's different. In Ibra the Dash is kemish yichet lo keren zavid dami. Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi, but the other part, Inu Talulei, why can't he take it? Omer Shmuel, Shor Shel Patam, Areo Kragle Kol Adam. And Ravina said to Rav Ashi, I don't get it. And if they put it there, Lo Shaka, why is he not allowed to take it? Omer Rabba Bar Barchan, Rav Yochanan, Halach Rav Yidai said you could take it from the shepherd could take it into his own Roshos, even though he didn't have it. Omer Rav Ashi of Kahana, I don't get this. Inu Talalei, why can't he take it? What's done? Abei Mava Kelin Keragle Abali. Ella, the whole thing over here has nothing to do with taking it from the Tchum. Shani Reb Chana Bar Chani Loi, the Gavar Abba Havi. V'tori B'shmaitate. V'achi Kamale. He at yourself Talita, so then you recognize the meat. So it's Chasimon HaMegave. V'lo Masachta Daitcha Mina is Yerushkot. But Inu Talalecha, Masachta Daitcha, V'lo Tishkot. In mashkin v'shochatin et ha-midbariyot, ava mashkin v'shochatin et ha-bayatot. Eil ein bayatot, alanot ba'ir, midbariyot, alanot ba'afar. What's this mashkin business? What am I going to make my mashkin v'shochatin? No, milta ha-gavurchi ka-mashkin, at least ke-inish pem-tavod ha-mishkin, mishun tzirchu da-mashkin. Ton rabbanan, eil ein midbariyot, eil ein bayatot, midbariyot koshiyot zot be-pesach v'rol be-efer v'nechon zot be-reviya rishana, ואלו הן בעייתות כושי יוצאות ורואות חוץ לתחום, ובאות ולענות בתוך התחום. רבי אומר, no, both of those are called בעייתות. אלו הן מדבריות, כושי יוצאות ורואות ואפר, ואין נכנסות ליישוב את all, לא ביבות החמה, ולא ביבות הגשמי. מי היטלי לרבי מוקצה? בואי מרב שמן ברבי, ברבי מרבי, פצעילי תמרה לרבי שמן מהו, and רבי said, אין מוקצה רבי שמן, אלא גרוגרות וצימוקים בלבד. Beep.